Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, we commence our 11th session on the parable of our Lord Jesus Christ. So how many parables in Matthew chapter 13? How many? Eight. Brother, give me the first one. All the brothers, give me the first one. Parable of the sower, right? Sister, second one. The wheat and the tares, right? Third one, brothers. What's that? The mustard seed, right? And the fourth one, sisters. Huh? Yes, the leaven of the yeast, right? The fifth one. We have the fifth one already. The treasure, right? The great treasure. Not regular, great treasure, right? And the sixth one? The pearl. Great pearl, right? Not just normal pearl. This pearl is from Tahiti, right? Because the Tahiti's pearl is the most beautiful ones, right? The seventh one? The dragnet, right? The eighth one? The householder, okay? Or the scribe, right? The householder, the scribe, right? So, all these eight parables, the most important parable we have must pay attention to is the first parable. That is the parable of the sower. If we have the fourth ground in the first parable, then everything that we do from then on will become positive. There will be no leaven inside our heart. There will be no tears inside our heart. And also, we also will realize that great treasure, that great pearl that we, you know, that we have. And then the dragnet. If you don't have the first ground, there's no way that the Lord will put that aside and put into his vessel. No way. And if you don't have the first ground, there's no way you and I can go out there and bring things that's old and new, right? To encourage other people, to save other souls. So that's why every single day we must read and pray and let our hearts be able to understand, accept, and keep the Word of God. And only then that truly will bear fruit. And this fruit will lead to eternal life. So we can see the great treasure. We knew Zacchaeus, right? Zacchaeus, he was tall and was poor. Is that right? No. Zacchaeus was short and rich, right? Quite often, a lot of guys out there, right? You see, Bill Gates is not so good looking, right? He's rich, right? So why? Because when you're too handsome sometimes, you don't focus too much on education, right? Really, a lot of job, right? You understand what I'm saying, right? So quite often, that's why people, when they are younger, they always, you know, use the external look, right? Their appearance to get something. But when you get older, you can't do that, right? You can't do that. You need to study. So this may be because he was short, he studied much harder, right? And he tried to make money, right? So he became rich, right? But he was a chief tax collector, right? And then even though he's have high standing society, even though he's wealthy, he wanted to see a Lord Jesus Christ, but he could not. So it tells you and I, even though someday we become rich and someday we can have a good career, it doesn't mean by default our hearts will be filled. Quite often, actually, where I used to do, you know, counseling, right? And most of the people who are depressed, not because they are poor. All the rich people are depressed. Why do you think that is, brother? Yes, exactly, brother. Because why? Because the rich people, they have everything. But with everything they have, they still feel so empty. And then they wonder why they feel the way they feel. But for poor people, they always have the hope, right? Maybe someday they become rich. Maybe, you know, someday they buy a house. So because of this hope, they give them, you know, encouragement, right? To work hard and this and that. They don't have time to think, right? Why my life is so empty? Why? Because they're busy working, right? And trying to make money, this and that, right? So when I went to Africa, I asked the brother and sister there, every single year, how many people kill themselves? And they're like, what? I say, yeah, how many people kill themselves, commit suicide? They're like, there's no such thing, right? And I tell them, you know, in the United States, every single year, 30,000 people kill themselves. And they were completely in shock. They say, why? They have everything there. Right? And I ask them, why don't people in Africa kill yourself? It's like, many people die from natural causes already. Who want to kill themselves? Right? Every year, right? So in other words, they never have known anyone who commits suicide, right? Because they are so poor, they don't have time to be empty, to feel empty, you understand? Even they eat one cracker, they feel so joyful. I'm telling you, that one cracker lasts them a whole week for being joyful. But for us, we can eat everything and everything quite often if we're not so joyful, right? So Zacchaeus, don't think, even though he's wealthy, even though high status society, doesn't mean he can be fulfilled. So that's why he seeks for our Lord Jesus Christ. But even he wants to seek for our Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean by default he can see him. So for you and I, someday when you become wealthy and have high status, and then you become a council member, don't speak too loud, right? Because sometimes we feel, look, I have good education, right? I'm smarter than others, I'm more wealthy than others, so I'm the one that have the loudest voice during a meeting. Don't be like that. But sometimes by nature we are like that, right? There's one time one sister, right? Her job is pretty good. During council meeting, right? She have high, you know, she have high education too. Almost every time during council meeting, she always talks so loud, so big, express her opinion all the time. If no one else listens to her opinion, she just walk out and get upset, right? And then, you know, after a while, come to the council meeting, she didn't say nothing. She was so quiet, she didn't say anything for several months. And people were wondering, why, what's going on with her, right? So they found out she got fired from her job, right? So because of this, she feels so humble. God humbled her, right? So I think she couldn't find a job for 3 years. So during that 3 years, she was so quiet. And then guess what? God blessed her with another job. Go back to her old self. It's very strange, right? Don't be like that. Actually, if you want to learn how, you know, if you want to know how strong you are, when you receive power, when you receive riches, and you be able to control it, that's when you know how powerful you are, how strong you are. Because many people cannot handle power, right? Many people cannot handle riches. But for you and I, we have the Spirit of God to subdue us. Yes, even though we are wealthy, we're still faithful. We're still full of love to brothers and sisters. Even though we have high status society, it doesn't matter. We still treat our brother and sister exactly the same, with love and compassion. When we be able to do such things, then we really feel the blessing from God, right? No, one time, right, I took this brother and a sister out, right? Actually, this brother and sister, they are very pitiful, right? They're alive and they're very poor. And so one time, actually, you know, this one time before I left California, I wanted to take this brother out, right? And this brother, I know he loved lobsters, right? He never had lobsters for I don't know how many years. But he always mentioned to me, right, that he loved lobsters, right? So before I left, I took him to eat lobster, right? And I just watched him eat. I was completely satisfied. Right, we ordered twin lobsters, right? Ginger and scallion, right? It's very good, right? Ginger and scallion. So I just look at him eating, and for me, I was shedding tears, right? Why? Because, you know, even though I don't have that much money, right? But when I took him to eat that lobster, there's no way for this brother going to be paid back. Right? There's no way he can take me out to eat lobster also, right? There's no way. But when you be able to do this for such a brother, then you can feel God's love come upon you, right? So that's why God said, look, and invite those, right, who cannot pay back, and this is truly wisdom. Why? Because if you invite those who cannot pay back, then God will be the one that pay you. Then it's so much better, right? So that's why those who are rich, you invite them to dinner, of course they can invite you back to dinner, and then you even out, right? Then there's no reward. So really, God's teaching, if we practice in our daily lives, it will be truly full of blessing. Even though it was only me and him eating in the middle of the day, I think that the most joyful meal I haven't had for a long time. Why? Because you can see he was glowing, right? He was so joyful eating it, right? And that brings so much joy to my heart, right? And then when I said goodbye to him before I left, right? Because I don't know when I'm going to see him again. He almost shed tears, right? Because, of course, we went out to lunch many, many times together, right? But I never take him out to eat lobsters, right? But it's very wonderful, right? It's wonderful. So, no, have compassion, have love for our brothers and sisters, especially the one that seem to be nobody, right? No one. Okay? So then we know Zacchaeus because of his faith. Right? Even though he was short of stature, even though the crowd was in his way, he'd be able to see Jesus Christ. This is a treasure we must put inside our heart. If you put Jesus Christ first inside our heart, there's no way that he will not repay us with kindness. There's no way. So that's why Jesus, even though the people, right, will look at Jesus, look, he's going to eat with a tax collector. How can you do that, right? Our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't care. He does not care. You and I, the same thing too. Really. Sometimes when you meet some brethren, they are not so rich, right? They are poor. Then when if we hang out with them and stuff, we feel all the other, you know, brothers and sisters look at us in a certain way. No. But of course, those who sin continuously, we should not hang out with them, right? That's different. But here, our Lord Jesus Christ didn't care, but called Zacchaeus today, and he announced it to everybody, right? Because if Zacchaeus is on a tree, right, and say, make haste and come down, and today, right, you have to yell because there's a crowd there too, right? And Jesus not whispered to him, but he announced to everyone, today I must stay at your house. That's why he was full of joy, right? He was full of joy. He's willing to give half his good to the poor. He's willing to pay fourfold to those who have took from them wrongfully. This is full of love, right? Full of repentance. So you and I, we must sell everything, right? But then let's go to Mark, right? You study Mark, right? This morning, right? Chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, kneeled before him, and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? What is the most important question that one can ask in this life? What is the most important question, you think? Would you marry me? Is that a lot of important question? What is the most important question? Give me a name, please. Jasmine. Where are you, sister? Right. Yes. Just like this young man, right? Really, this young man asked the most important question that anyone can ask. That is, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Actually, it's more important to say, oh, where am I going to go, right, when I die? That's different, right? Because where I'm going to go, this means you can be very passive. You just ask, oh, where am I going to go? But he said here, what he knows about eternal life. But he wants to know the way, the process of going to eternal life. So that's why he asked our Lord Jesus Christ here, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So now that he's willing to work for eternal life, he's willing to be active for eternal life. What shall I do? That's what he asked him. Nowadays, you can see many people who come to seek for Jesus, they assume they already, right? Assume already they will enter eternal life. So because of this, they're not going to ask, what shall I do? This young man, was he a sinner? No. No, he was not. But even then, he did not assume that he will enter eternal life, but rather he asked our Lord Jesus Christ, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So you and I must ask the same questions. Even though we are TJC members, are these young rich people, is he Israelite? Was he an Israelite? Yes, he was. He was. So in other words, he worshiped God. But he did not assume he's going to just go right straight to eternal life, but rather ask the most important question. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So for tomorrow, please study Matthew 25, the whole chapter, okay? For tomorrow morning. Because Matthew 25 is the doing part that you and I must do if we, you know, talk about the dragnet, right? The pair with the dragnet. What shall I do? But look at this young man, right? Verse 17. Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, kneel before him and ask him. Really, compare ourselves to this young man. This young man, he was rich. He was a ruler. Who was Jesus? He's the son of carpenter. But when he saw him, he ran toward our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of us during Sabbath, we are looking forward to come to church, right? How many of us? Are we running toward Lord Jesus Christ also? But quite often during Sabbath, we're like, oh man, Friday night again, I have to go to church. And Saturday morning, you get up, oh man, I got to be in church all day, right? If we have this kind of heart, and we come to church, we can never experience God. It's like a catch-22, right? In a sense that, you know, catch-22, you almost win, but you're going to lose. So in other words, if our heart's not in the right place, we come to church. It seems we're going to gain something, but we won't. Why? Because our heart is so far from God. So that's why everything we do. One day when you are married, right, you take your wife out to dinner. And you don't want to go out to dinner. And you just, but it's her birthday, you're going to take her out, right? You think when you sit there in front of your wife, you think she's going to be happy? She can see right through you, I'm telling you, right? Women are very sharp. Very sharp, I'll tell you that, right? And women sometimes 10 times smarter than we are as guys. It's true, right? But the thing is with God, He's even much sharper than that, right? Even if we have a little feelings that we don't want to come to church, already God feels so sad already, right? We come here to worship the true and living God. Remember, right, when John in Revelation chapter 4, the minute he entered to the door, what did he see? What did he see? Some sister said already, right? What did he see? I forgot who it was. What did he see when he entered the door? The question is, when John entered the door in Revelation chapter 4, right, what was the first thing he saw? Brothers? Yeah, he saw the door, but then he entered to this door. The door opened in heaven, right? Then in the spirit, immediately, he went in it, right? And what did he see? Yes, he saw a throne with Jesus sitting on in it. So you and I, when we come to church, we also enter this heavenly door, but we must open our spiritual eyesight to see that Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne. There's a young sister, right? She had a vision. She went to heaven. And in heaven, and she walked, right, from the back of the church. And she walked and she saw Paul sitting, listening, right? Then she saw Peter and John and James all listening to the sermon. And she's wondering, wow, why all these apostles, right, they're sitting. Who is preaching up there, right? That all them sitting down, right? Then she went in front, she saw our Lord Jesus Christ was preaching. And his topic was fisher of men. That's what she said, right? In a vision. So Paul and Peter listened to Jesus, right? In our church, it's exactly the same way. When we come to church, yes, men are speaking up here. But if we truly connect to our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ will teach us for that Sabbath. But we must have that kind of faith. We must have that kind of faith. Always remember that, right? So, are we running toward the Lord Jesus Christ? Second, what did he do? What is the second thing he do? What did he do? Give me a name, please, brother. Vincent. He knelt down, right? Is that important, he knelt down? Yes. Why is this important? Okay, he knows that Jesus is God. Okay. Then, what else? Think about this, right? He was a rich person. He had high status. Which is Christ, really. From the outward appearance, he was nothing, right? Status wise, he was nothing.
But he ran to him.
He kneeled down before him. This means really he built a humble himself before Jesus Christ. So you and I must do exactly the same thing. It doesn't matter who we are, right? You know, quite often, right? Sometimes we are good at certain things. But there's so many other people are so much better than we are. Always think like that, right? I remember when I was in high school, right, I ran track and field, right? And in my district, you know, I'm pretty much, you know, I can beat everybody, right? I'm one of the fastest kids in my district, right? And I remember out of the five states, they call New England, right? New England, the five states, right? Then every time I make to New England, right, this means you go to the states, then after the state, if you qualify, you make New England, right? So, of course, at the state, I do okay, right? Sometimes I come first, sometimes second, third, whatever. But when I went to New England, right, when I made to New England, I'm always last. Why? Because out of the five states, there's four kids, right? There's four kids. Really, when you see, because I run the relay too, right? Run the relay. And usually, our team run the relay, we are pretty fast. But competing with that four kids from the inner city, when we run a relay, they make us like we're standing still. That's how fast they are, right? So pretty much, you know, for long jump, high jump, triple jump, I always make it pretty good. But when I go to New England, I'm always last. Why? Because there's so many other people so much better than I am, right? I remember one time, because I do the 100-meter hurdles, right? You guys know the 100-meter hurdles? And then, of course, I had to compete with these four kids, right? And they also do hurdles, right? And my coach tell me, Vudi, if you don't get to the first hurdle first, there's no way, you have no chance to win, right? Because these guys are super fast, right? So for me, I was, you know, getting ready, right? I was thinking, first hurdle, first hurdle, first hurdle, right? And the minute the gun went off, right? And I took off. Because I thought so much about the first hurdle, when I got to the first hurdle, I didn't even jump. I ran through it. And fell. I still have a big scar on my elbow, right? And it's thousands of people watching. It's like telling, it was on TV, right? So I fell, right? Of course. And then in like slow motion, I got up. Everybody was laughing. Because I ran through the hurdle instead of jumping over the hurdle, right? Because I want to win so bad because they are so good. So what I'm saying, don't think you're somebody. Sometimes you're a big fish in a small pond, right? Right? Then you feel you're all good, right? But really, doesn't matter what university you go to. You can go to Princeton, Stanford, right? Maybe you get there, you feel like, yeah, compare all other brothers and sisters, I'm pretty smart, right? But compare all those who got into Princeton, right? And get to those who get to Stanford. Actually, maybe you're not, or nothing at all, right? Because my two nieces, right, in high school, they get 4.0, right? About 4.0, right? And then when they go to college, they say, Uncle, we feel so stupid. Right? Because everybody talks to them sometimes, they don't even understand what they're saying when they're talking about engineering, this and that, right? And I say, that's the way life goes. It's like that, right? So that's why you have nothing to be proud of, right? It's really, right? Being Asian, maybe 6 feet, you feel like, oh, I'm pretty tall, right? Yeah, if you compare to other people that's around you. But you go to Hawaii, right? Everybody's huger than you, bigger than you, stronger than you, right? Really? There's one brother, Akuso, right? Usually when I play golf, I drive about 275 yards, right? And he's always drive like, you know, 50, 100 yards more than me, right? And he hit like this effortless, right? I'm like, man. And I'm trying to kill the ball, right? I try to, but there's no way. So what I'm saying to you, don't think we are somebody. Right? But at the same time, our mind must be sober too, right? Don't think we are nobody, right? Sometimes we are like that too, right? Oh, I cannot do this. I cannot do, no. Right? Be sober-minded, right? There's a couple, right? Actually, they are quite wealthy. And maybe between both of them, they probably make $500,000 a year, right? So, but they are very humble. They drive very, you know, I don't want to give them away, but they drive very the simple car, right? They live not even in a house, right? And I ask them, wow, how you guys, you know, can be so humble like that, right? I'm sure you can afford a $3 million home, really, you can, right? They can drive Mercedes, whatever, right? They can, right? But they say what happened one time, they went to their boss, whatever, banquet, right? The CEO banquet. And they drive in their, you know, say a Camry, right? They drive in a Camry. When they went to the front door of their boss, I mean, everybody have Ferrari, right? Rolls Royce have all parked in the front, right? They're all like people coming out, and they drive in their Camry, right? Okay? And then the minute they open the door to the house, just a chandelier alone, right, was like $3 million, right? And for them, they were so humble, right? Because for them, you know, just a chandelier alone, right, is worth more than whatever they have, right? So from then on, they said, no, there's no point why trying to, you know, buy this. Just buy things that, you know, that is, you know, that is work, right? You can live in there, you can drive your car, you know. So for them, it's like that. And that's wisdom, really. Doesn't matter how smart we are, there's always people going to be smarter than us, right? So this person, what did he do? He kneeled down before Lord Jesus Christ. So you and I must do exactly the same thing, especially before Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to church, when we speak very softly. Why? Because in the meeting, our Lord Jesus Christ is in the midst of us. Always remember that, right? Even though with the physical eyes, only brothers and sisters. Sometimes some council members, right, they get so mad, so upset, they walk out, right? For what? In meetings, right, in any kind of group meeting, you share your opinion. If no one else wants to accept it, it's fine, right? But at least you share your opinion. You don't need to insist on what you want. But make sure, that's why it's very important to be filled with God's Spirit, right? To speak with wisdom, to know, right, what is God's will. So this man is so humble, right? Then what did he call Jesus Christ? Good teacher, right? Good teacher. So our Jesus Christ, you know, asked him, look at verse 18, right? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. So give me a name, please. Daniel. Where's Daniel? So Daniel. You get picked on a lot, huh?
No. Okay, Daniel.
Why did our Lord Jesus Christ ask him, why do you call me good? Why did he ask that question? If you, right, say, good Daniel, right? And then
I'll ask you,
and you ask me,
right? Why do you call me good? What's that mean?
What's going through your mind? Right? You're not good. That's not true, right? Maybe you're too humble, right? Oh, why do you call me good? I'm not that good. That's true, right? Okay, in Jesus' case here, right? Why do you call me good? But they say no one is good except for God. Right? Give me another name, please. So the question is, why didn't Jesus say, when the young man say, good teacher, say, oh, thank you, right? But he say, why do you call me good? He say, mate, why you call me good? No one is good except for one, that is God. What is that saying to you? I'm sorry. Okay, give glory to God. Okay. So quite often you and I also call Jesus Christ, right, good teacher. We also call him good. But Jesus Christ asked him this question. If you call me good, right, why do you call me good? No one is good except for one, that is God. So if you call me good, you must know I'm what? Huh? If you call me good, you must know I'm what? Huh? Am I confusing you guys? So Jesus Christ said, why do you call me good? No one is good except for one, that is God. So if you know that I'm good, you must know that I'm God. Yes. So now this is what Jesus Christ is saying to him. Look, no one is good except for one. God equal good. If you call me good, then God, then you must know that I'm God because you know that I'm good, right? So our Lord Jesus Christ want him to think, look, if you know that I'm God, then you do exactly what I tell you to do, right? Just like for you and I. If we truly know that this church is a true church of God, then you will obey everything that we've spoken in our church. Of course, with discernment, right? If you know our Lord Jesus Christ, He's a good God, we will do exactly what He wants us to do and not to do. So this young man, yes, he ran to the Lord Jesus Christ. He kneeled down before Lord Jesus Christ. And then he asked, they call him good teacher. Then he asked the most important question. Then Lord Jesus Christ asked him this question. If you call me good, you must know that I'm God. If you know that I'm God, then you will do exactly what I asked you to do. Then Lord Jesus Christ asked him, right? Verse 19. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder, do not steal, do not be a false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother. And look at verse 20, this young man. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Wow, incredible, right? Incredible, right? Amazing, right? This young man, can you and I answer our Lord Jesus Christ in this way? Right? Honor your mother and your father. Anybody say amen to that? Huh? Only the last couple of years I honor my mother and father, but the rest, that I don't know, you know, right? You say yes, I want to say yes. Good for you, right? But just that alone, right? But this one says, you know the command, do not commit adultery, right? Do not commit adultery. How many of us have watched things dirty on the internet, right? How many of us have lustful thoughts, right? Because if any of those things, we cannot say, I wish all these things I have kept from my youth, right? Do not murder. How many of us have hate anyone before, right? How many of us have hate anyone before? Because that is also a murder. Do not steal, right? How many of us haven't taken anything that did not belong to us, right? Steal, right? Download music, download movies, right? That is illegally download, right? And pass it to your friends. Hey, I love you a lot, right? Let me download all this illegal music and pass it to you, right? We should not do those things, right? But now with the iTunes and what is the other stuff, right? You can buy music for very cheap, right? 99 cents this and that, right? But now they just go to Pandora box, right? Pandora, right? You can listen to almost every music that you want for free, right? That's what I have at the house, right? You can kind of genre and then you can listen, right? Or Christian worship and things like that, right? It's very good, right? But here, how many of have been restored for? Do not be a false witness. How many have lied before, right? I think most of us, we cannot be like this young man. But the saddest thing is, even though this young man be able to do all these things on the end, he cannot enter eternal life. It's the saddest thing. So here, when Jesus asked about the commandments, right? What half the commandments did he ask this young man? What's that? To love man. Yes, right? To love man, right? The last six commandments. Why didn't our Lord Jesus Christ mention the first four commandments? Why not? Why? Give me a name, please, brother. Oh, not a Sarah. Where's she? Oh, I'm sorry. So why didn't he mention the first four commandments? Okay. Knowing Jesus is God does not equal that you can put him first in our lives, right? That you do not worship idol, right? So here, it's the first four commandments is for what? What is the teaching for first four commandments? God, what? To do what? Yes. To love God with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. For sure, this young man know about God. So in other words, was he able to love God with totality? Was he able to put God first in his life? No. That's the answer. So in other words, that's why Jesus Christ did not mention, right? The first four commandments. Why? Because, yes, this young man be able to love men. Right? He followed all those things. But it's one thing he lacked. Look at verse 20, right? I mean, verse 21. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Did he look at Zacchaeus? And then he loved Zacchaeus too? Did he look at Zacchaeus and love him? The Bible never mentioned it, right? Actually, this young rich ruler had a better treatment from Jesus, right? I mean, in that sense, that Jesus looked at him, right? Looking at him, behold him, right? This means Jesus, when you love a person, when you tell them, I love you, right? Hey, Vincent, imagine one day you have a wife, right? Your wife say, and she wanted to look at you, but she wanted to say, I love you to you, right? And she, instead of look at you, she go like this, I love you, Vincent. And you are right there like that, right? And what are you going to think? Wow, my wife truly loved me. Right? Of course, right? If someone loves you, they must look at you, right? To let you know, because the words without, right, the way you feel inside, there's nothing but word, right? Like people say, oh, I love my dog, right? Right? It's the same thing, love. I love food, right? I love video games, right? But with human relationship, right, when you do, so that's why I say here, Jesus, looking at him, love him. Right? Love him. And then say to him, one thing you lack. What is that one thing you lack? Give me another name, please. One thing you lack. Where is it? Oh, you're over there, sorry. Over there. One thing you lack. What is that thing that he's lacking, brother? What's that? Yes. Not putting God first in his life. Only one thing you lack, but you cannot enter the heavenly kingdom. So in other words, if you find a great treasure, if you find a great pearl, if only one thing you lack, this means you're not willing to sell everything that you have to receive this pearl, to receive this treasure, then sorry, you cannot enter the heavenly kingdom. That's why he said, one thing you lack. And what's that lack? Say, go your way, sell whatever you have, and give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. But look at verse 22. It's very sad, right? But he was sad at this word, and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So in other words, brothers and sisters, even though this young man, he see the great treasure, he see the great pearl, even though he wanted to enter eternal life, even though he did many things that is good, right? He did not steal. He honored his mother and father, right? Did not commit adultery, right? All these things. But if we cannot put God first in our lives, then we cannot enter the heavenly kingdom. But what does it mean to put God first in our lives? This means to sell everything that we have, in the sense that anything that keeping us from following Jesus Christ, we must get rid of it. Is it wrong to buy a big house? Is it wrong? Is it wrong to have a big house? No. Right? But if this big house, you know, takes so much of your time, right, to clean it, to update it, to this and that, then you don't have time for Jesus Christ, get rid of this big house. If you buy a Ferrari, right, is there anything wrong with that? No. You can drive a Ferrari. But if the Ferrari have only two seaters, right, and church around the church area, they need, you know, there's some students need some for you guys to pick them up and stuff like that, right? If you're rich enough, you have a Ferrari and another minivan or something like that, right? So what I'm saying is nothing wrong for you and I to enjoy life. When you have money, really, buy what you want. You buy what you want. Make sure it's not blocked you from seeing a Lucius Christ, from following a Lucius Christ. That is the problem. And being poor, the same thing too. Being poor by default, you can have a good relationship with God. Think, brother. No. Right? Why not? Yes, God, look at our hearts. Yes, very important, right? If all of us can be poor and we have, you know, by default, we can have a good relationship with God, let's all be poor. Right? for the sake of the relationship with God. But of course, even poor people doesn't mean automatically they'd be close to God. It's not like that, right? So just like this young man, he did so many things that is right. When he saw Jesus Christ, he ran toward him. When he saw Jesus Christ, he kneeled down before him. When he spoke to Jesus Christ, he humbled himself and he said, "Good teacher," and asked him the most important question in life. Then when Jesus asked him, "Follow the commandments." And the commandments to love men, he was perfect. But the first four commandments, he was not able to do it. That's why Jesus Christ did not mention it. Why? Because his God is what? His God is what? Yes, his riches, his possessions. That is his God. Okay, don't think and don't deceive ourselves. No, someday when we do all these things outwardly, right? We run toward the Lord Jesus Christ. We kneel down before him. We ask all these important questions. And we outwardly, we love all the brothers and sisters. We show so much. But in our heart, we do not put Jesus first. And don't be surprised that on the end days, we cannot enter the heavenly kingdom. No, quite often, the more we read the Bible, the more we realize how narrow the gate is to the heavenly kingdom. That's how it is. Right now, we live under God's grace because Satan has not been released yet. When Satan is released with his full power, you and I, if our foundations are not strong, right? If our foundation is not like wood and is not like silver and gold, then there's no way you and I can stand. There's no way. Why? Because on the end day, the battle at Armageddon, right? Satan will deceive all four corners of the earth. He will create the Magog, right? Gog and Magog, right? They mean his army is like the sand of the sea. It's like the stars in heaven. So they have so many. In other words, where's the battle at Armageddon going to be, brother? Where? Here, where? In Los Angeles? In this world. Brother, what do you think? Where's the battle at Armageddon? Earth. Brother. Yes, in our heart. That's very important. The battle at Armageddon actually is inside our hearts, right? So when the enemy builds a cross, why? The river Euphrates all dried up, right? Then the enemy can cross. So when the Holy Spirit is all driving inside our hearts, then the enemy can cross. This is the greatest land that the enemy will want to possess. Right? Because when he possesses this land, we are over. We are done. When enemy possesses our hearts, precious land. Why? Because this land have great treasure. This land have great pearl. This land have our Lord Jesus Christ in it. But if we give it up to our enemies, then the enemies will occupy this land. Because this, when they have this land, they be able to control everything else. When Satan has our hearts, then he be able to control everything in our life. So we must protect this land. The only way is that be filled with God's word, be filled with God's spirit. Very important. So the bad Armageddon has already started already, right? How do we know? Because some of us, we already allow Satan, right, to capture our heart already. But on the end days, everything that's around us can be all completely all evil. If our hearts are not strong, it's so easy for us to be deceived. Because Satan's power is in his head. His glory is in his head. So in other words, deception, deceiving is his greatest weapon. Deceive what? Deceive our minds and deceive our hearts. So in other words, the bad Armageddon, the last piece of land we should not allow our enemy to take is inside our hearts. Because this land belong to our God. I belong to our God. If we lose this land, we lose everything of ourselves. How can we love God with our whole heart, right? if we don't have a heart to love him with? How can we love our brothers and sisters?
We have no heart to
love them with.
So that's why,
brothers and sisters, always protect what's inside here. These are the most precious things that we have. Don't allow Satan, especially at the end days, to take this piece of land. It's interesting, right? Because in the battle of Armageddon, when the enemy surrounded the camp of the saints, right? What in any battles, any war, if your enemy surrounded you, what does this mean? Huh? Yeah, you are done. You understand? That's why Alexander was so great. Why? Because that's what he does. He go around and surrounded the area that he want to destroy. Then he just stabbed them to death. Right? No food. There's nothing going in for them to feed them. So he leave them 5-6 days no water. They are dead. So now on the end days, the enemy is so many that are hard. We are surrounded by enemies. And the only way to win is what on the end? What did the Bible say? You know? When the enemy surrounded the camp of the saint, then what happened? Then God sent fire from heaven, right? And kill all the enemies. Because you and I cannot handle anymore. It's too much evil, right? So always remember that. You see this young man, right? He knows this great treasure. He knows this great pearl. But he's not willing to sell everything that he has to get it. So do not make that mistake. You and I know that the church is a great treasure. We know God's word is a great pearl. Because the church and the word is Jesus himself. So sell all that we have before it's too late. So we can follow him. So praise and thank God. Let's all kneel down and pray. And give thanks to God for these morning classes.